Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It once again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2930. That's 2930. That's a lot of shows, people. And we're still going strong. Tonight we don't have a guest. Everybody's in such an uproar and everything that's going on in this world. I had just learned early this afternoon, actually, that on the New York City subway, a lady was assaulted, and people were standing by, did nothing. They're watching her be assaulted. This is the world we live in. But before we get into that, and also, too, this being Mental Health Month, and we're at the very end of it, Mental Health Awareness Month, I'm going to read the mission statement, and then I'd like to sort of, like, get into it. We can discuss all different kinds of things. I kind of like open mic nights because we can discuss so many different things. Okay, this is our mission statement. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do this two different ways. Number one is educating the public, very, very important, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone, and it does. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. All three of those are very important. Prevention, intervention, that's how you speak to a kid if you think they're being abused or, you know, otherwise you'll scare the person, the little kid, and they'll run away and they won't talk. So there's a certain way of speaking to children. We teach that on NASCA. And on our website, naasca.org, that's nasca.org. If you go to our website, it's really a wonderful thing. I use it a lot, all the time, actually. You'll find red bars, and each bar has a different topic in it, okay? And next to the one on the right-hand side, I believe it is, it's all about recovery and also about intervention and prevention. Okay, and all of those are so very, very important. So that's just a little bit of what we do here at NASCA because we really do so much. But that is our mission statement. The programs that I speak about are very, very important. If you look on the website on the front page, you'll see programs. I get calls in the middle of the night where people really need help and they want, they actually want to go to a program. And that's fine, that's well and good. And one thing that we do have is if you go to those programs, it's right on the left-hand side, you'll see it in the block, it says programs. If you open it up, you'll see a picture of the world spinning around. You know you're in the right place. We are worldwide, and we speak to, you know, English-speaking countries. And then also, too, you'll have the whole United States. And all you have to do is look up your state. It's really simple to do. I'm living in New Jersey, so, okay, you look up New Jersey, And then you scroll down to the area in which you recognize. You might even find your town there, okay? And if not your town, your county. And so you open it up, and there are programs. It's that simple. People at times do want to become a part of a program where they can see. I'm going to ignore that call. I don't know if you can hear it or not. But anyway, the point is this. It's very, very important, you know, that people find help whichever way they need it, whether it be through therapy or coming to counselors. I'm a counselor. I get calls all in the middle of the night. Or you get programs, which are wonderful. And, you know, it's just very, very important to find the help that you need. If you've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, neglected, yes, you absolutely do need to get help. Because if you don't, you're going to have a problem later on in life. And you're going to have a problem on during life, too. Teenagers have problems. The suicide rate is sky high right now. I was really shocked before when I looked it up. And kids, again, as early as 12, and some say even earlier still, are trying to commit suicide. One out of 25 attempts in the emergency rooms, the ER rooms, are successful. One out of 25. A lot of times kids, you know, they just want to, they're looking for attention, they're miserable, they're freaking out because of the world that we live in. And they don't have parents that can guide them properly because maybe they're just so stressed out, or maybe they're on drugs, whatever the case might be. Or maybe they are their abusers in other ways, okay? So a lot of the kids today, 1 in 25 children showing up at the ER room, it is successful. And so we're going through a very hard time in our country, and we have to somehow band together somehow, some way. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, all right, so, yeah, it says here more than 51% of adults who abuse children, okay, they become they are mentally ill, and they too can become very volatile. If you come from a volatile background where you see a lot of domestic violence, the huge amount of people that go through that many times can become volatile themselves. That's why I always say, you know, people have to look into the homes. Not just look at the kid. Don't just judge the kid, a kid who's in trouble on the street or who ends up in juvie. Look inside the home, see where they come from. And then you'll get a much better idea of where that kid comes from, and you'll be able to help that child more. And then maybe, just maybe, they won't go to prison. Okay. So tonight I have something that I found that I think that everyone who has been abused or suffers from depression being a very big thing, should look into this website, and it's called healthyplace.com. healthyplace.com. All right. You can just type it into your browser, and there are so many different areas that they cover. I was really, really taken back when I was looking at it last night, and I learned a lot myself too, so that was very good. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to have a discussion group. I'm going to read a little bit of stuff that I learned, and then we're going to go into discussion. By the way, I'm Carol Levine. I am vice president of NASCA. People laugh at me because half the time I forget, you know, to say that. But I've been here 12 years, and it's like my second home. So, but anyway, all right. So one thing that we should understand are the after effects of child sexual abuse in adults. All right, in adults. There's an extensive amount of research that's been done for this. And quite frankly, with CSA, in the childhood of sexual abuse, it is useful to understand that behavioral problems. Look at all the kids out there on the street that are acting out and doing horrible things. Look at this Texas issue that we were talking about the other night. Look what's going on with that. Oh, I have a lot to say about that. And that child, well, he wasn't really a child, he's 18, but when you're 18, you're still a kid, I'm sorry. you know, he came from such a horrific background. And I'm not making any, you know, excuses for what he did. He was mentally ill. But you know what? Your environmental conditioning can help you become mentally ill. And there's just no way of denying that. Now, there's a lot of things they could have done at that school. I mentioned the other night that I lived in Staten Island, and it wasn't a pretty school, but you can be sure that there were no doors left open there, okay? And we did have bars on our bottom windows. There was no way that anyone could enter that building. And then also, too, we had security guards, and they wore a gun. They were armed. Were we safe? You bet we were, at least in school. Now, that's my only comment on that. And I think that, you know, everyone should think about that. You know, instead of just talking about this and that, they better start thinking about how to keep our kids safer, at least at school. Let that be one place. Okay. So we have a nice panel here. We have Bill from California. Of course, he's our founder, and I'm really glad that he's here. And we also have someone named Phil. He's here, and he's listening to me go on and on here. Yes, he is. I'm going to open up mics here. And here's Bill.
Hello.
And I'm also going to open up Nancy's. Hold on a second. Yeah, now we have the mics open. So, Bill, I have this really good thing here that I'd like to discuss, and then we'll go into, I thought that was good, what you did last night with the ACE study, how we sort of like took that apart. And I have a section here, that I'd like to use that also in that format, in that type of format. So, but there's some things that I do want to use here that I did a lot of research on. The after effects of child abuse in adults, okay, now there's been an awful lot of studies on that. And as children, of course, they act out. We've spoken about that many, many times. They develop all kinds of things like phobias. They have PTSD, the complex PTSD. Well, if this isn't taken care of at an early age, then the adults, they suffer too, and they become people who are very unhappy. And they have problems with relationships. We know this. We know all of this. And they look at themselves in different lights, and it's not always in a good way. Many times they turn to alcohol and drugs. This is what happens. Okay. But these are coping mechanisms. That's what that is. If you don't get help, many times we do turn, and I'm one of them. Bill was one of them. And let's see, who else? Phil, I'm not sure, from California. I don't know if you turned to alcohol and drugs. I'll talk to you in a minute. But people find ways to cope with their pain, okay? And that could be mental pain. And then, two, they have found out that studies have been done. They have found out that people who have been, you know, sexually abused and mentally, physically, emotionally, and neglected, many times our threshold for pain is lower. Now, I'm Miss Tuffy, and I didn't like that when I read that, because I like to think that, you know, I'm a tough person. That's why I'm still alive, okay? A lot of us are like that. But we suffer more from pain than other people do. And I found it interesting that if you were so sexually abused many times, you're going to have pelvic problems, male or female, doesn't matter, you know, as a child. You're actually going to have trouble with your stomach. You're going to have stomach issues. You're going to have heart issues. You're going to have all different kinds of issues. And I find that to be, you know, quite interesting, too. And much more so than a person who has never been abused in that way. Okay, and you're also going to have psychological problems, which may affect survivors' positive progress with healing. And it may cause other kinds of problems, okay? It's psychiatric. That's why we have such a world that we live in today. Many times it happens in the family, okay? It runs in cycles. And somewhere along the line, you always hope that someone can break that cycle. And a lot of times that does add to or even cause some certain mental conditions, okay? And one would be with violence, because they found out through studies that kids who even watch their parents, we were speaking about this the other night, even who watch their parents, you know, almost kill each other and other violence in the family, they too then would grow up to be many times, not all the time, but many times volatile people. Okay. So I just wanted to get that out there. And we have much more trouble with depression. Well, when people commit suicide, they don't want to live, do they? They're terribly depressed. And they think of that as a coping mechanism because they don't want to feel the pain anymore. They also suffer from anxiety, okay? And again, they have behavioral problems many times and so forth. And lack of help from your family. If there's incest in the family, and I came from that too, many of us have. If you have other family members who do not help you and they're aware of it, then they are equally as guilty, and shame on them. And many times, though, you'll find that the person who has been abused, they don't want to go to the police and talk to them about it or go to someone else because of shame. So many times that is the hardest, and it says, too, this makes mental health worse and harder to heal from. So that's nothing that, you know, to be laughed at. There's seven distinct, but overlapping categories. This isn't what I want to discuss, but I want you to hear it. One is emotional reactions. We have problems with emotional reactions. Sometimes we overreact. We do that because we have problems with our own emotions within ourselves. And when something happens, we may react in fear or in anger. I can become explosive, wrong button, okay? I'm not going to go out and hurt someone, but I'll yell, okay? I won't be my usual laughy self. We're more apt to suffer from PTSD and complex PTSD, complex meaning that we were abused time after time after time in whatever way. We have trouble at looking ourselves. Our own self-perception is off. Why is it off? It's off because we were told many times when we were growing up that we were stupid, we're never going to amount to anything, and we're just not meant to be. Maybe we were told we were not loved, we weren't treated the same as other kids in the family, or maybe it could be a lot of things, but it's all negative. You grow up with that negativity in your life. And the way you look at yourself is not going to be a good, positive way. Many people like that, they turn into overeaters. They suffer from bulimia or the opposite, anorexia. That they can control. That might be the only part of their life that they feel they can control. And that's why that problem actually comes to be, okay? You have problems with sexual effects. You might become promiscuous or you might become the opposite. And that can fluctuate depending on where you are and your time in life. You have problems also with social functioning. That means with other people. A lot of times you don't like being around people. You might turn into an introvert. Or you could be the opposite and be a loudmouth and a drunk and an obnoxious person. And so you have problems with your personality. And also it's a way of you're expressing yourself, but it's pain. And it's all coming from the past, which was never, you know, looked at. Now that comes from healthyplaces.com. And that's 2019. It has many, many pages. This is just a little tiny bit of what I researched in the last couple of days. And I found this to be a very good place for anyone, who has mental issues.
Let's continue this by making a discussion with some of the other people. In fact, there's one you haven't recognized yet. But we have a nice presence of four people. So we want to keep them included, right?
Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way to give people something to think
about.
You
got it.
Okay. Sure. Now, I have Victoria here. I'm going to go to the top of the list, okay? And her mic I will open. And, hey, Victoria, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, I guess. Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Kind of having a rough day. Went to my a therapy online, you know, yesterday with my psychologist, and mm-hmm. I was told that she couldn't no longer see me.
What?
Oh.
Because apparently they don't have the right licensure, whatever, I don't know if that's the right word, but for my insurance to pay them, and my insurance has been paying them all along, and I found out that it's a state insurance, and even my couples therapist said that she's had like a couple for 3 years now, they can't come back, and I mean, I am freaking devastated.
Sure.
I just got a rapport with this woman, and you know, and my worker came over afterwards, and I told her, and we called my medica, and I said, you know, I told her what's going on and stuff, and she goes, well, I can't do anything about it on my end. And I said, yeah, I know, but apparently because they didn't like wrong, they had the wrong licensure or whatever, they discovered, the state discovered they didn't have it. So now they have to go back to all payments they made to this company and recoup the money. And she said that the company said that she had to call all her clients and talk to them 5 minutes and tell them that they couldn't come back. And she said, I'm not doing that. I'm at least doing one last session. So I had one last session with you yesterday, and I was just freaking devastated. And then my worker came over, so we called my state insurance, and mm-hmm. I said, you know, I can't just get a new psychologist, you know. I said, mm-hmm. you know, I got complex PTSD, and I need somebody that's trauma-informed. And mm-hmm. I just got a rapport with this woman, and she started talking about, well, you know, you can call the behavior or something or another part of the medical insurance to make sure that you get somebody that's qualified for, you know, your situation or whatever. And my worker was there, and I just go, can you please talk to her? Because I didn't even want the information at this point. And I just started crying. And I said, I can't take this anymore. I get somebody that's good, and I don't even want to start with somebody again, you know? And I just started crying, and I was walking out, and I heard my worker tell this person, my care coordinator, she said, you know, Victoria has a really hard time with change, be it good or bad. And you know, I just walked out, and I was outside, and I was just crying my eyes out. And trying to calm down with a cigarette and walking around and all, and came back in and everything, and she said, well, I got the information, here's the information, she says, but, you know, this is really raw right now, so I'm sure you don't want to, you know, approach it or whatever right now, and of course I don't, and so that just freaking blew me away yesterday. So I called a couple's therapist that me and my former husband, my son got us a house, so we're living together, and they said, oh, you're back together. And they go, no, my son couldn't afford two houses. You know, so he said, Mom, could you live with Dad? And I said, yeah. So anyway, we've been going to couples counseling before we moved in together, and now, and we kind of made a decision ourselves that we were going to, just do a couple more sessions, but just this all abrupt, and so I called the therapist, and then they go call back saying that no, next Wednesday is our last session with her too. And
wow. So you
feel like I freaking ran into a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got it all taken away from you at once, and that was what, you know, you needed for your coping skills, and that makes it very difficult.
I mean, yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I've just gotten to know this gal and just comfortable, you know, just got a lot of my story out and just comfortable talking with her, and then bam, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Anyway, you were talking about the eating disorders and stuff. Well, I've been having a really hard time, and I just signed up for eating. I signed up, my one worker got me into this eating disorder group, but it's a peer support group. And mm-hmm. I told my worker, I said, I want to go through the U of M where I get all my other care, because I think I need a professional running the group, because mm-hmm. I don't think that because of all my childhood abuse stuff that's wrapped up into it, like you were talking about, is just going to work with just other people that are, you know, having eating disorder issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm starting an art therapy group, too. I just got approved for that. So I got two things, like, coming up, you know. But
right.
I still can't get past this right now. And Bill says, why don't you come on the show? It's open. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that, you know.
Well, at least
right.
you're finding, you're
I'm
able to
you
find
did.
Ways. You're looking for something, you know, and you found something that, you know, I think that's what Bill's about to say, too. That you have something to turn to. And remember, you always have us here, too. You're never alone,
yeah.
Victoria, you know?
No, I know. I do the Zoom meetings, too, you know, so, yeah.
I just wanted to finish this, and I'm going to go to you next. You're going to laugh at this. I bought myself a little owl, and you know, pendant, and put it around my neck, because I'm the night owl, you know, and I get all the phone calls. So I figured, oh, I'm going to get myself that. I saw it. And so now I'm wearing my little night owl. There you go. And because, you know, and that's one of the things that was mentioned in this article. Things seem so much worse at night, right, when you have issues. And it's like the nighttime is a hard time for many, many people. But I'm glad that you, you're looking into it and you're able to find, you know, like a peer group. That's good, okay? And so at least you're finding, you're not like holed up in your house and curled up into a ball and saying, oh, no, I can't handle this, okay? At least you're trying to move forward still, okay, and get back into, you know, some sort of group. And that's good. And then again, we're right here. And that's the beauty of it all, because we are right here. So, you know, you can call anytime. You've got the contact list. You can call me. I don't care who you call. But we are there. Let me see what Bill has to say.
Well, I was going to note that, you know, I speak frequently to Victoria, and she called today. And I
mm-hmm.
knew that there was something wrong, but I just got the message a little while ago. And this is why I said, well, I'm about to start the show, so call in, you know. And I'm so glad
mm-hmm.
you did, because the main problem is we don't talk about this stuff. And we kind of get angry when we're not heard the right way, whatever our thinking is the right way is. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to support you, Victoria, of course. But, as Carol's right. There's a lot of different things that can go on in NASCA, and you just got to grab onto the next person. I know that a lot of what's going on with you is sort of inappropriate, but I'll tell you, let me go to the story you just told us. The therapist that's not allowed or not feeling comfortable themselves for some reason is supposed to back off. They're supposed to do this, though, within the first about half dozen meetings with a patient or a client. So in other words,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to self-evaluate, am I helping this person or not? You know, is this the right partnership between the two of us? And frankly, mm-hmm. if they say no to that question, they're supposed to let you know that they have done this and they observed this and they would be happy to, you know, find someone else that they think would be more appropriate. I mean, that's common. And the first part of it, the evaluation part of it, is supposed to be almost required. I don't know if it's completely required, but it's very common. And you can do the same thing, of course, those of you who are listening. You can evaluate your therapist and do it as whenever you want. And if it's not working, you can tell them, I'm sorry, I don't think it's working. Can you recommend someone else? You're allowed to do it, too.
Yeah.
So in other words, the observation that it's working or not working can go both ways.
She can't see me no more because my insurance won't pay for it.
Yeah, this is an insurance thing, Bill.
Yeah,
it's an insurance
if they're not paying the insurance, they should have told you that a long time ago, I'm thinking.
Right. But maybe she just found out.
They just discovered mm-hmm. that they don't have the right licensure, so they're going back to that company and making them pay all the money that they've already paid back because, and I'm not even sure if they hired the therapist, psychologist and stuff with false pretenses too. You know, I mean, that's not my issue, but it's just, you know, it just makes me real mad at the company.
Sure.
Because she was devastated, and she was like, I told him I'm not just going to call my clients up and say, you know, here, 5 minutes, I'm telling you that I'm never seeing you again.
No. But if you
see what they're supposed to do.
Guy, you know?
Let me say something here, Bill, and then let's move on to the next person. Because Phil's here, and I'd like to speak to Phil.
Yeah.
What they're supposed to do, okay, let's just say, for instance, you have a client that you can't deal with. I had one like that. I felt that he was drinking and doing methadone all at the same time. I don't want him. I gave him to the supervisor. I figured let him become responsible, and then he gave me someone else. And so if there's a conflict, say, between a patient or a client. No, I'm just saying what they do is, yes, they can swap back and forth. Now, with the insurance, I don't know how long they've been aware of this, but they're supposed to not just leave people hanging like that.
Right.
They're not supposed to do that. And I'm shocked that they didn't find, you know, give you a name, say, of someone who could take their place until they get straightened out, or until you know, other insurances get straightened out, whatever the problem is. So I don't even think that's professional. In fact, I know it's against the law, because if a person is, say, suicidal, and you just drop them, you can't do that.
Well, I
that's
wasn't before. It was all now.
Well, you did the right thing, though, because you found you're looking for a peer pressure type thing, as you said, put it, a group. And that's...
Peer pressure? You mean peer support, not
peer
pressure.
Support.
That's a whole different story.
Well, my mind is thinking peer pressure because of something else. But the point is this. You have to have something to go to. They can't just drop you and leave you alone. They're supposed to give you a name of an organization, or a name of a psychiatrist or a psychologist who could take your place.
I have a psychiatrist. Yeah. She mentioned that she could help me get somebody. But I'm at the point where I just don't want to do it. I've been dropped by so many people that are supposed to be helping me, and all of a sudden I get a report, and they say, oh, today's my last day. My workers, my PCAs, my ARMS workers, my ILS workers, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm just graduated from school, and next week's my last day with you. I'm just tired of it. I can't keep doing it. I can't.
Mm-hmm. Maybe programs are a good thing, because you're not going to have people pull a rug out from under you on that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just consider it. Because a lot of times in the programs, they too, not all of them, but all that they have, you know, social workers and so forth who are involved. So, you know, you're not alone. You have us. And there are other options. So don't feel like the rug's been, I know it's been pulled out from under you, but it doesn't have to be that way, okay, forever. You'll get it straightened out. Let me go down to Phil here. Okay, because I don't think I don't know if I've even spoken to Phil before. Hey, you, how you doing?
Hanging in there.
You're hanging in there, huh? So, what's your thought on all of this? How are you feeling? Are you okay?
Well, listening to Victoria made me realize that the abuse I've been through has financially hindered me.
This this can happen, and it's not supposed to happen, okay? So I want Victoria to, you know, to keep us apprised of this, because she's going to, you know, look into stuff, and then once she knows, then she can tell, you know, she can tell us how she's doing.
Well, she said, I just want to mention, too, she says, well, you could do self-pay. Some people do self-pay. And I said, well, how much is that? She goes, well, a gal a while back didn't go through her insurance and did self-pay. It's $170. I see this woman every week. I said, I can't even afford that once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if at any time you feel like you're too overwhelmed, though, you know to go to the ER room. You know to do that. I have people at nighttime that call, and if I feel like I can't help them, then I tell them to go to the ER room and let them get the social workers and so forth involved.
Well, I have a 24-hour service for psychiatric, 24-hour service that calls me every
mm-hmm.
morning and checks in on me. And I have a beeper button now for both if I have physical issue or mental health issue that I can push, because I've
mm-hmm.
had severe panic attacks where I don't even know where I am.
I used to have them. I know. I know what that's like. But there are other options. So, I mean, at least you have that, okay? And those people, if you push the button and they realize you're trying to contact them, certainly they're going to do their best to help you.
Yeah.
So you're not totally alone, okay?
No,
yes,
but there's no quick fix either. I know you want to wave a magic wand, but there's no quick fix. I mean,
no,
you know, I've got to go through these emotions, and I got to, you know what I mean? There's no quick fix.
Yes.
No,
yes.
There isn't any quick fix. And it's a damn shame. I mean, our country is changing, Victoria, okay? That's just the way it is. It started
well,
a while ago.
It's the company's fault because they, you know, and like she said, she's got a couple that's been dependent on her coming every week
mm-hmm.
for 3 years, and now they can't see her. And so that's
mm-hmm.
that's 3 years of payments for that, just that one couple that company has to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they're going to be able to be afloat after they pay all that money back to the company.
Well, I'm glad that you have.
And everything else.
I'm very glad that you have people. You have that psychiatric button that you can push 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have that, okay?
Yeah,
and that's a biggie.
Yeah,
and that's a. I know what that is, and that's a biggie right there. So you know you do have that, and that's important.
Yeah, besides that button, I also have a 24-hour psychiatric number that I can call in. There are a different
mm-hmm.
service, not my psychiatrist, but a different service completely that my caddy worker hooked me up with. And they come
out once a week
as well.
You have more than some people have, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Because some people, you know, other people heard things like you did today, all right, and they have nowhere maybe to turn. And where you have the button and you have others,
mm-hmm.
other things. So you're not in as bad a place, thank God, as other people
are. It was just such a shock. Like I said, I felt like I walked in a brick wall, you know, into a brick
wall.
Yeah,
of course.
You know, it was just like my mind just started spinning. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay,
I do want
to
tell you some good news, Carol. Quick, Carol, I want to tell you some good news.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm living in
I
a
need
house
some good
now.
News.
I got out of my assisted living, and I'm living in a house now. My son
mm-hmm.
is buying a house so I can live in because they tried to kick me out of where I was at. It's a long story, but
mm-hmm.
if I'd have got kicked out of there, it would have been my 20th time homeless. And my son
right.
just said, Mom, you know, I just want to help you out. And I told him I've been better. Right now I'm better physically, emotionally, and spiritually than I have in my whole life. He said, really, Mom? I go, yeah, my whole life I have never had stability. This is the first time in my whole life I've ever had stability.
Right.
So I just want to
well,
put
that part,
good,
that's
a good point
good.
There, too. Yep.
Because, listen here, you put on Facebook some months ago the food you were being fed at a particular meal. I think it was dinner, but I'm not sure. And it looked really bad. I thought, oh, no.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Corn dog and eat chips. And, God, if you're not there at mealtime, you don't get that either. And,
oh,
and
I remember that. That stood out in my
Carol,
mind.
Can I have some mayonnaise for my French fries? So they gave her a spoonful. And then she goes,
go
can I get another spoonful? And they says, he goes, I just gave you some mayonnaise. I go, give her some of mine. You realize what you guys get paid here, and you know why they're going downhill, my caddy worker said? Because the health department wouldn't go in. People were getting baths for months because the health department won't go in and check on them because of COVID.
Yeah.
They're all blocked off, and family and friends can't even come and check on them.
Okay. Okay, listen, Victoria, I have a show to run here now. I'm glad you shared all that. And we can talk later if you want. That's fine. Or you can call Bill. And I'm sorry all this has happened, but you do have alternatives. You're very lucky in that sense. And for that, I'm very thankful. Okay? You know, you have your psychiatrist and that button and the other that you mentioned. So that's good.
Yeah.
And they'll help you.
Yeah.
They'll help you, honey. I promise. And if they don't, I'll go beat them up. Just let me know, okay?
I'll give you the address.
Okay. Let me go down to Nancy here. And then there's Sharon from Georgia. I'll see if she wants to talk. We had been talking about, how, child abuse affects adulthood also, too. And also, too, about behavior modification, that would be, how people look at how they're behaving now out on the streets, what type of homes did they come from. Let me go down to Nancy and see what she has to say. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Ms. Carol. Good evening, everyone. I want to say first, hi, Phil. This is Ms. Nancy.
Hi.
We spoke on Wednesday. So good to hear you tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm like, yay, you made it back. Thank you. And, we need your voice. So thank you so much. I also wanted to address Ms. Victoria. Ms. Victoria, you stated that your appointment got canceled. And I just wanted to say I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I understand your frustration, and I understand your pain. And it's okay to get in touch with your emotions. Sometimes you have to feel. And that was very cruel that now, you had developed this relationship with this person, you fostered this relationship, you felt comfortable, you found a safe space, and it was taken from you. That's another form. That's like another form of abuse. It's a repeated trauma. When something's just taken from you that you start to connect with after you've had connection issues, some people say, girl, just call some other psychiatrist or just call another therapist. No, you don't understand. It's not that easy. It's like somebody with hair loss. And I'll say this because I specialize in the hair loss field. And I've had people literally cry in my chair and tell me these stories. They have trichotillomania. They have that nervous, they have that nerve where they start pulling their hair, their eyelashes, their eyebrows, the front of their hair, women and men and children. And seeing that at that level, it builds empathy. It builds empathy, and it makes you think about the words that you use and how you treat people. And I'm sorry that you went through that because that hurts me as an empath. I'm feeling your pain. I'm still feeling your pain. And it can definitely trigger someone, okay? And when we're talking about suicide prevention, that's that we have to do better with before you cancel. And I'm saying this because I have, in the hair loss world, I've had clients who are doctors, and they are, they tell me these deep stories of what happens in the background. And I have, let's say, a doctor who does surgery. I'm not going to say what type of surgery she does, but for her to even cancel a surgery, she was not allowed to do that unless she got a backup for that cancellation. And it was her job to figure out who the backup was going to be, and if not, she had to do the service. And I think that we need to hold mental health professionals, not just the professionals, but I think that we should hold the community, the hospitals, whoever the bottom line person is, to a standard of, look, this is emergency. We are at the highest level of crisis for suicide right now, and it's highest with our youth, and it's not good, okay? And so we have to even listen to Ms. Victoria. She's not a youth, but her cry matters, and women who are older age, 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s, and 80s are losing. They're dying by suicide. This is a fact. So we have to address it. As far as... Okay. As far as what she said, that she was paying $170 per hour that were charging her for a session, I have paid $200, and right now my budget's been real tight. I cannot afford it. So I haven't been going for that. You know, I'm looking for other sources for free services. So I'm, like, so appalled and so hurt by what I'm hearing her say, because when you're in a 911 emergency crisis situation, don't look at my pocket. You don't want me to snap. You don't want her to snap. You don't want him to snap. You don't want that child to snap. They are in a 911. We need to have a 911 emergency budget. And this right here, what we're doing right now on the radio, this is therapy for some of the people that are listening in right now.
That's right.
I've been taking classes back to back for suicide prevention. It's like starting to hit me in my head. The information is starting to lock in. And I'm seeing some of the biggest mistakes that we're making. And we don't know we're making it because we don't even talk to each other. We don't communicate.
That's right.
We don't forgive. And we're not trying to heal as a nation. We're not talking about, because we've all said offensive things. Let's just be real. We've said some things that if it was said to us, we would be ready to, you understand me? And we're all in recovery. Trust me. But we
Well, that's
have
the problem right there. Let me stop you right there because you said something important there, Nancy. Hold on a second.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
This
I was
is...
feeling for my sister.
I hear you. And I hear you. I hear you. We all feel for her. But what you're saying, though, is right. See, you made a comment right there that's so, so true. See, people are disconnected. I used that word, I don't know, Wednesday, I think it was, whatever it was, Tuesday, whatever, Wednesday.
Right.
We are disconnected from each other right now. You said people are not even talking to each other. And that's a biggie. You see, because we're becoming... it's like we're like robots. We walk around, we do what we have to do. Yeah, absolutely. And we're not looking, we're not caring. A lot of people have lost caring even for their fellow man, for their neighbors, for the people down the street, because they are so intensely, you know, thinking about themselves and how am I going to make it tomorrow. Everything is going up sky high. We have other nations who are coming after us, maybe. Maybe someone's going to push the red button, as they call it. You know, and we have all these things. We have people coming in on the border that really should be on the other side of the border. We have to fix our own country first. Ooh-wee, to bring in all these people when we can't even help our own country. Down in Texas, it was mentioned today by the mayor that there's such a homeless population even down there, and they don't have the monies to feed these people. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah,
and
then
it's
we
just,
need to talk, right? We have to communicate with respect. What's happening is we're offending each other. There's language that we're using, and I know this because of the classes that I'm taking. We're talking about the words that we use. I use so much wrong language, so much, to the point that I know I've offended so many people because I've been on the mic. This is not the first radio show I've been on. So I'm telling you, I've gotten on the mic and used the wrong language and offended so many people. So we have to first learn the correct language so that we can communicate because we're not communicating.
Communication.
I do want to say one last thing because I do want to make sure everybody else gets a chance to speak. I did want to say something about Ms. Victoria. We already know that the factor is there for people who have been through childhood abuse and sexual child abuse, not just sexual, but even just abuse, right? We already know that they can have a tendency of being highly sensitive. And that's for the people who are educated. And Ms. Carroll, you just said that because you've been learning and educating yourself. So you know what you're talking about. I can relate because I know I'm highly sensitive. But one thing that I do tell the people that I come across and that I'm helping or coaching or sharing and pouring into, I say it's okay for you to be sensitive. When you're that sensitive and you have that big of a heart and you're such an empath and you're just so sensitive, surround yourself with a safe and loving tribe. You have to feel safe. And that's it. Don't change your heart. But now, after you get away from all those painful people, start taking classes to build up your self-esteem, because you're going to come across these rude people. They just exist. I'm sorry. I know it still annoys me to this day, because I'm sensitive. But I'm trying to strengthen myself so when I come across these people, I can meet them where they are, and I can understand their heart. Because a lot of times when you come across people that are hard, tough, bullies or whatever have you, they had a real messed up childhood. And God has been having me to focus on the child. And in this season, I've been just focused on a child. And every child, even the adults who are mean sometimes or rude, God has had me to focus on that person. And when I do and I start digging up, just like the kid, the first news I got is a kid shot at school. I was in the voting place when somebody just said a kid was shot. It was a white man. And then I said, wow, was another white person shot a black person? Let me find out it was a black person. I was ready to, I was like, yo, if another white person went in and shot down black people. And then I found that was completely different. I said, look at that. Let's focus on the people. Not just the group, the ethnicity, the religion. Let's focus on the children, as parents or as people who love children. But anyways, I'm done. I'll let you pass the mic to because we have a few people. And Ms. Sharon just joined us probably about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we have a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's okay. Yep. That's all right. You got it off your chest, and that's good.
I got it off. Thank you, Ms. Sharon.
You know, you have to understand. That's all right. You have to understand, though, it's not. You know, we're not living in the same world. I want to say something here, because we're not living in the same world. The elders are trying to make it seem that way, but that's not true, because I have many black friends, and I have many white friends, and I don't see color, okay? I see actions. It's how people behave. I don't care if it's a white guy that shoots someone, or if it's a black guy, or if it's an orange guy, or if it's a red guy, or I don't care what color they are. It's the action of what the person is doing.
But we're still recovering from Black Lives Matter.
We have to listen to me, Nancy.
Okay,
we have to look.
People of color, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you, but people of color are in another level of sensitive pain right now. And as a mother of black sons who go out there, and I have to have certain conversations that upset me when I have to keep a straight face and be so sweet when I explain it to them, like I have babies in my house that I have to speak to about Black Lives Matter. I have to explain it because they're communicating with their friends and they're learning about this stuff. I have to speak about stuff that I don't want to speak about. So when I have to do that, it does not make me
feel
good.
Let me say
good.
Something, and that I do want to move
so
on.
So now
honey.
I'm
have
waiting
to move
for
on.
Another attack. Right. So, but it makes
listen
people wait
me.
And expect another attack.
Right.
Just so you understand,
well,
I'm trying to you understand it.
The copycat.
No,
yes,
it's
the
not
copycat.
A copycat. It's the reality. It doesn't matter what you
but
think.
Me,
it's the reality.
Nancy, it's not. Look, I don't want to turn this into a racial show. Okay, we
no,
can't do
it's
that.
No, it's not a racial show. I'm trying to give you some understanding.
Yeah, I don't want
from
it to be
side.
That
that's
way.
All.
What I'm trying to get across
we
here.
We can switch the topic.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me check it out. Okay. I want you to check it out. Okay. I want you to check it out. I want you to listen. Okay.
Yes,
we've
ma'am.
Got people of all different, you know, cultures, whether white, black, and green, orange. Like I said, I don't care. We have people that are going crazy now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it doesn't matter what the color is, what the race is, what the culture is. It's what society has turned into. This is what's frightening.
We're divided.
Okay? It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're only
divided
because people are trying to make us divided. I don't have division in my friendships with my people. Okay, I call them my people, my friends, all right? I don't have that. I have a good sense of humor. And a lot of them have a good sense of humor, whether white, black, brown. I don't care what they are, Indian. You know,
right.
I have this.
But the language.
And you know, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, we have
it's
to
offensive.
Come together. We're going to have to come together. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get off this subject.
Yes.
The day is going to come, as it's going now, unless changes happen, that we're going to be fighting together because we are Americans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're green, brown, black, orange, or purple. We're Americans, and we're going to have to take our country back, all right? Now, that's the end of that. Absolutely. Let me get down because there's other people here. Okay.
Yes.
We love y'all. Good. Yeah, I don't want to scare poor Sharon away here because she was on hold, but I do want to see if she has anything she wants to add to anything that has been spoken about so far. Because if not, I'm going to continue on here. Because the real topic tonight is mental health, depression, and what causes it and what we can do about it. Because this is the last time we're going to be speaking because it's almost June. So what awareness do we have for June? Does anybody know? I don't know. This is Mental Health Month for, for what we're talking about. So I don't know what June is. But anyway, okay, so here's the deal. Sharon from Georgia, is there something you'd like to talk about tonight?
No, I'm just on giving you guys support and listening.
Okay, that's good. Okay, one thing that I found in this article, I do an awful lot of research. I keep it for myself, and also I pass it along because that's what I used to do. So, again, with the depression, I have something here that we can kind of like work with. It's called Short Depression Quotes. Now, remember, this is Mental Health Month, and a lot of people are depressed, and who wouldn't be anyway because of what we're living with. But this is Short Depression Quotes from people. The worst kind of sad is not being able to explain why. Do you understand what that means? The worst kind of sad is not being able to explain why. Okay? People who are very depressed, many times, they have that feeling, all right, I'm walking around, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I've got this terrible feeling of depression. And I can't even figure out why. All right, here's number two. And then I became sad for no reason at all. How many times, and people can respond to this, how many times you're walking around, you're doing whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden you become sad? Is there anyone who can relate to that?
Yes.
I can. Yeah, go ahead, Phil, go ahead.
I can relate to both of those.
Yeah, see, that's a toughie, and it comes from the past. Okay, maybe something triggered you and you didn't quite realize it. Okay, number three, when you have depression, simply existing is a full-time job. I felt like that. When you have depression, simply existing is a full-time job, okay? That, too, is a very depressive state. Remember, mental health covers depression, all right? That's something that a lot of times we have. People, I was clinically depressed many years ago. I was diagnosed as that. So some of these I can identify with. Why does everything seem so worse at night? I said that before, earlier on in the show. Why does everything seem so it's worse at night? Why is that? Because many times, I know, like with myself, the abuse happened many times at night. So even if the most mundane thing that normally wouldn't bother us in the daytime, it'll bother us at nighttime. That's a state of mind. Okay, that's a state of mind. All right, it says here, that is all I want in life is for the pain to seem personal, you know, to have a purpose. Again, that goes back to what I just said a couple minutes ago. I'm sad, but I don't know why. What's the purpose? Depression is not the same as sadness. Now, I want to tell you a little something about that because I have worked in the mental health field. I was a state certified technician for years. Anyone can be sad at times, but if it lasts for more than 2 weeks, you definitely get help. Okay, I just want to get that out there. You need help. Nobody ever tells you that emptiness weighs the most. Nobody ever tells you that emptiness weighs the most. when we walk around with, you know, feelings of emptiness, we weigh the most, okay, inside. It's a very strange, very odd feeling, okay? I want to sleep until I feel better. How many times have any of you ever said that? I want to sleep until I feel better. That's not just a physical state. That's also a mental state. Sometimes to live is an act of courage. I said that once. Sometimes to live is an act of courage. I'm here because I'm tough. You see, that's being courageous. She was drowning, but nobody saw her drowning. No one saw her struggle. Now, what does that mean? Can you identify with that, anyone? It should be an easy one. She was drowning, but no one saw her struggle. My silence is just another word for my pain. Many times when people are introverted, it's because they're so filled with pain. And those are the people that you'll see maybe who will go and hide or stay away from people. You know, they turn into introverts. And that's what that is. I miss the person I used to be. If you have trauma after a certain age, but you had a good life before, you know, the trauma, when you were during the good times of your years, say that you had a childhood, say you had good times in your childhood, you can look back and you can look at those days, and then that's why a person would say, I miss the person I used to be, because they felt good about life, they felt good about themselves, they were happy kids, and they weren't being beaten or sexually abused or any of the other things that we speak about. I'm exhausted from trying to be stronger than I feel. Can anybody identify with that? I'm exhausted from trying to be stronger than I feel.
I can.
What does that mean?
I can.
Yes, I bet you can. That's putting on a smiley face when you feel bad. Go ahead.
I was just saying I can identify with that as well.
Okay. I am not living. I am surviving. I am not living. I am surviving. People don't die from suicide. They die from sadness. Well, again, if you're a sad person for more than 2 weeks at a time, or you have too many bouts of being sad, then absolutely seek help. Okay? I found two kids who tried to kill themselves, and it was a very sad situation, believe me. And they were sad from the whole time that I saw them. Sometimes I am sad and miserable and tired for no reason at all. I can identify with that. Sometimes I am sad and miserable and tired for no reason at all. See, this is Mental Health Month, so these are the things that people go through. There is nothing more depressing than having it all and still feeling sad. I happen to be a person that has an awful lot of things, but I can still feel sad at times. Go ahead. Can you identify with that, Nancy?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because, like I said, you know, I've gotten degrees. I've gotten certificates. I'm always getting certificates. I think I got, like, 4 this week. I'm literally, you know, always trying to make up and trying to make up and trying to be better and trying to – and it's exhausting, but – I've done stuff with TV and celebrities. Guess what? At the end of the day, none of that matters. It's like you're trying to feel and you're trying to reconnect. For me, I try to, like, go, especially now, the healthier route. How can I be better, even better, and get away from anything toxic, right? But anyways, I can relate to what you're saying. You can get all these titles and get all this stuff and still be sad and still be hurting, and you're still human. And you have the right to feel.
That's it right there, okay? That's it. You're learning well. You see, because people think that, you know, they have these, hey, I've got this, I own a boat, I own a motorcycle, I have this, I have that, I have all these things that are going to make me happy. And yet that person has terrible feelings many times of feeling down. There's nothing abnormal about, you know, having sad days once in a while, all right? But those who have sad days too often or who feel down too often have to look at their lives, and they do have to maybe possibly go get help. And they might have all kinds of money in the bank, whatever. Look at the movie stars that go and commit suicide, okay? A lot of times it's drug abuse. Because that, too, is the coping mechanism, which I had started speaking about earlier, the coping mechanism. Because we need to find something to make us feel better, a lot of times we turn to alcohol, drugs, or both, or whatever, or unfortunately shoot up, things like that, or turn into meth mouth, whatever, because we can't cope on our own, and we worry a lot of times we're teenagers, we're kids, and we don't think about getting help, or we come from a family where they would never, you know, get us that help that we needed, or maybe they don't even recognize it themselves. Okay, if you are chronically down, if it is a lifelong fight from sinking, if you are chronically down, it is a lifelong fight from sinking. And that, again, yeah. And then people have to really get help doing that, you know. Now, I have the inspirational depression quotes. And these are good, okay? And this is how people who are depressed, they have to learn to sort of like, you know, look at things in a different perspective, okay? And that is, the sun is a daily reminder that we too rise again from darkness, that we too can shine our own light. I like that one. So every day that we get up and we see the sun shining, that's, we can rise up too, okay? We can shine. And the things that you're saying there, Nancy, is that, you know, you have your constant self-improvement, you've got your certificates, you're getting more, and all these other things. And someday you're going to feel the sunshine, and that is a way of the sunshine, because you're working on yourself, and that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying.
And that's
yes,
what we all
every
have
day.
To do. Yeah. Phil, what about you? Do you... you have days where you feel like, hey, I'm doing okay, and look what I'm doing for myself. I'm able to improve myself. Do you have days like that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good, because that's how you get out of a depressive state, and that depressive state many times is what leads to mental health, okay, or lack of. Okay, you are allowed to feel messed up inside. You had mentioned this, Nancy. You are allowed to feel messed up inside and out. It doesn't mean you are defective. It just means that you are human. Didn't you just say that?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you did. You see, it was like you were reading the same thing I was, because that's exactly what you said.
Well, he do it.
that's good. I want to talk to Sharon for a second down there in Georgia. Can you identify with any of these quotes, whether they be the sad quotes, the people who are very, very, very depressed who need help, or the inspirational depression quotes that I'm reading here? Can you identify with any of these?
Absolutely, especially the one where you said that you walk around pretending that everything's okay, but you're sad. I think, I guess because I'm so busy, I do that a lot, just keeping busy, not to think about what's going on and pretending that everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not even facing,
right.
Not even facing my crisis, just, you know, just keeping myself busy.
Well, you know what? A lot of times people will say, and you've heard this, I know you've heard it, because it's been said even on TV, I think, and we've spoken about it on the show. someone will ask a person, how you doing? How you feeling? They'll say, fine. But they don't really. You see? That's it. They don't want to have the closeness with other people. They don't want to admit, mm-hmm. you know, that they...
We don't want to have
yeah.
that conversation. Yeah.
That's right. They don't want to have that conversation. And yet, and by doing that, by not having that conversation, the other person that you could speak to could probably help you, bring you up. I like to make people laugh. When I get these phone calls, I got off the phone at 4 a.m. this morning, and I had that person laughing their ass off, okay? So when I first received that phone call, they were not laughing. They were crying. They were upset and all this other stuff. But by the time they got off the phone, they felt so much better because, you see, they opened up. They opened up. And then you can get into, you know, different types of conversations, and then you end up laughing, and life doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't seem so sad. So that's a good thing, to communicate. Like Nancy was talking about before, people need to communicate better. That's true. So what do you think about communication?
I hate communication.
You do?
No.
Well, I might say a communicator. I am a communicator, but I'm not an open person.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk. I can talk to you about your problems. I can help you solve your problems, but I'm not going to let you know what's happening with me. But I'm a communicator.
Oh.
I talk at work. I talk for a living. So I am.
You see, that is so common. Yeah, that's so common. People are afraid to let the other people in. I've seen that so often where, okay, the person can go around and say, hey, can I help you? I can do this, I can do that. But don't look at me. Don't ask me questions, you know. Yeah, because I get it. Let's go up to Bill. He's been quiet for a while. Bill, what do you think about open communication with people and talking about your problems?
Well, of course, I was joking just a moment ago. It's pretty essential, actually. And the more transparent I can be, I think the better off I'll be, too. You know, some of us, we do okay, but we're not really willing to give it up. And you have to give up the ghost, you know, to progress here. So, you know, it's hard to give up, you know, completely at first. But a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, that's very useful. Eventually, our stories become, we get to the point where we tell people, you can ask me anything you want, and, you know, and I'll read you anything at all. Or I used to say, I'll read you any page from any chapter in my book of life that you want to know. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I meant that. And
mm-hmm.
so I really think it's essential to be precise. It's essential for recovery.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, too.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah. So for me, communication is very important, but it is a muscle that you have to build up to. You have to build that muscle up, especially if you didn't grow up in a family where you are allowed to communicate. You know, if your parents are strict, if you got told to not to speak and be respectful, because that's how I grew up. And so I think that that's something that you learn to do, to stand up for yourself or to say, no, I don't agree with that. That's your point of view. I respect you, but that's not appropriate. I don't agree with it. That's something that you learn, you know, and I think for people that have been bullied and things like that, it's a muscle that you have to build, but you can build it. So communication is very important for relationships, every relationship, not just a man and a woman relationship. It's important for friendships, for females, males, both, you know, whatever it is. I think communication is key even with children, with our youth, talking to them, being transparent. Like, you know, we're dealing right now with the shootings and all this stuff that's going on, and we're learning ways to open up the conversation with children where it's not too much, but it's enough, because they're going to hear it at school, they're going to hear it in the street, they're going to hear it at somebody else's house, whoever picks them up in between while you're working late. I mean, so you need to be the first point of contact to let them know that if they need to talk about it, if they're not feeling okay, they can come to you, and you love them and you will support them because you understand what it feels like. You're feeling it too. And just letting them know that you're the safe space. And that's it. Yeah,
that's true.
Time.
That's very, very true. And, you know, I'm really disappointed in society right now. I thought we were getting to, don't forget, I've been on this show for 12 years, right? And I thought at one point we were getting society, I don't mean us here, I mean society in general, was getting, they were getting to a better place, okay? People were talking more to people, things were better, and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, things started to happen. We had the rioting in the streets. We had all the shootings and started up and all everything you can think of. I don't have to go over the whole list, all right? And it's it brought our foundation down again, our house. A house that doesn't have a good foundation is going to crumble, okay? And when this happens, people crumble also. And that's unfortunate. And so, all right, Phil says he doesn't like to communicate. I don't know. I don't know Phil yet. I don't know. I don't know if he was teasing me or if that's really how he feels. But like with this lady, picture this. I mean, she's on the subway today, and this happened in the early afternoon, and this person decided to attack her, okay? I don't know if she's dead or alive because the show is coming on. I had to look at things here. But people just stood there and watched it. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. This has been happening lately. People just walk the other way. They're walking away, I guess, out of fear, and they don't know what else to do. You know, they're scared. People are frightened. And this is not the world. This is not the America that I was brought up in, and it's not the America that I was born into. So we have people out there that are changing because our world, our even our country is changing. And somehow, some way, we have to get it back because if we don't, it's going to continue to get worse. And this is why people are going back in the recovery. This is why I get so many phone calls in the AM. They're having flashbacks, they're having nightmares, they're having all kinds of things. And I always, again, always try to make people laugh because, you know, I put some people asleep. I do. I actually do. I put people asleep, Nancy. They'll call up and they haven't had their meds yet, and I'll say, well, it's that time, and they start to yawn. Yeah, it's that time.
That's
and
awesome.
They start
I know,
to...
I'm laughing, but that's good that you do that.
Well,
that's sweet.
That's okay, man.
That's sweet.
You know what? I talk my full head off. And even if I bore them, I don't care, okay? Just feel better.
Right.
Go take your meds. And, you know, a lot of times when you
that's
do
right.
to take meds, you yawn anyway, okay? You get that yawny thing about you.
Right.
And
that's nice.
I have to get off and take my meds, Carol. I can't talk anymore tonight. I say, okay, that's good. And I'm so thankful because at that time, maybe it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And night owl's got to get some sleep somewhere. So, you know, I hang up. Now, we're able to help each other this way. And, of course, if you have training, that helps too. But on the other hand, the depression that we speak about, the mental health that we speak about for the month of May, I don't know if I've ever known of any May that was ever quite this bad. I think it was you the other night that mentioned, I don't know, it was someone else maybe, I don't know, that I know the suicide rates are sky high with kids, and I had said 12, and someone said 7, that they had heard that a child had committed suicide at the age of 7. So this is a very dangerous thing. And the platform that we have here at NASC is very good because people are already, you know, depressed. I feel very sorry for Victoria because she had built relationships. And this is dangerous. I have to mention this. I'm a counselor, and it's good to be with people, you know, and to have a good relationship with a person. But don't get so close because we had a guy on, Bill, I think you remember this,
who had the same therapist for 13 years, and he admitted they were friends. And they were talking about their problems back and forth. That's not therapy.
No.
You know, you can get to a certain point where you're in there for a reason, and the therapeutic reason that you have actually dissolves because you build such a nice friendship over the person. Sometimes therapy can hurt, because it can make you look back at certain situations.
That's true.
Like even in AA, Bill knows all the steps. I was supposed to go to AA, but I was still a brat. So I learned some of it. But there's certain times when you have to say I'm sorry to someone or whatever. You have to look at yourself, do self-inventory. That's one. And sometimes we're not perfect either, okay? But that's also a sign of growing. There's nothing wrong because, like you said, Nancy, and like what's in the articles that I'm reading, it's just plain human. We do have a human side, too. But it's good if we work on ourselves mm-hmm. for self-improvement. And, you know, and we know what those are. We don't even have to – that we don't have to, you know, or talk to someone else. If you know where you're deficient in your own behavior pattern, if you know where that is – you know, fix yourself, and you'll love yourself more. Now, we can't fix the world around us right now. We can't do that. But we can work on ourselves. And, I feel sorry for Victoria. She's going to probably call Bill in a little while, whatever. I don't know. But she does feel like a tremendous loss, which you mentioned, Nancy, earlier, that she had everything pulled out from under her. I may have used those words, but you said I feel so sorry mm-hmm. for her because she had built these relationships. It's good to have a good relationship with a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, all of whatever, but not to the point where if you lose them, that it's going to destroy you. You see what I'm saying? You have to put the work in. And, it goes back and forth,
can I say something?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
It's so true, but when it comes to children, because I went through that, excuse me, and I think that when she was mm-hmm. sharing, maybe I touched in that area of my heart. I found someone I connected with. We were very close. We did such together, and then something happened. I got pregnant, and then she got rid of me. She didn't want anything to do with me because she, you know, I was so such a dreamer and such a visionary, and she really was pouring into me a lot, and I was connecting with people that I would never even meet, and I was mm-hmm. like 12 years old. But anyways, once I got pregnant when I was 13, I met her when I was 13, so I got pregnant when I was 14, she cut me off. Oh, my God, that broke my heart. I mm-hmm. needed her. I needed her,
yeah.
And because I chose something for personal reasons that I already shared why I did it. She cut me off, and that mm-hmm. broke my heart, you know. That, mm-hmm. that was my only friend, and I trusted her, and I opened up and told her things I never told anyone, and then she just dropped me. You know, I was heartbroken, seriously. And because I'm older and I've been heartbroken so many times, I don't take it as hard as I took it back then, but, man, that broke me when I was young.
I can identify with that. I mean, not me personally, in my family. I was working shift work at a hospital in detox in Perth Amboy, and I was a counselor there. I had been certified, the whole nine yards and so forth. But anyway, the point is this. That's hard when you have children having to work shift work. I had to find a babysitter for each shift. It was very bad. But anyway, the point is I got my daughter a big sister. You've heard the Big Brothers, the Big Sisters organization. I wanted to get them on the show, but I don't think that they feel it's appropriate that they come on because they don't want to talk about their, you know, kids that they work with, whatever. I will try again. But the point is this. My little girl, and my daughter was young at the time. I mean, youngish. I mean, she was almost a teenager, but not quite. She's always going to be my little girl, Nancy. But anyway, the point is, she built a bond between her big sister And, you know, she felt very comfortable with them. I'd throw them some bills. They'd go out and they'd have fun. They'd go bowling. They whatever the heck they did. You know, and it was for a whole summer, okay? And then all of a sudden, her big sister had to go back to school. She had to go to college. And my daughter was devastated. Devastated. So when you're younger, yes,
right.
You know, it is like a real loss when someone that you pour your heart, I guess she felt like she was like a friend to her, you know, like you're saying.
Abandonment again,
Yeah. And but then when you get older, hopefully you're able to handle things. And that was one of the things that I had spoken about earlier, is that we don't respond properly to situations because I hate to use the word sensitive, but you had used it also. Our emotional reactions, that's what I was talking about. Our emotional reactions sometimes are out of whack. When you're a kid, you can't help it. But as we get older and hopefully wiser, I should be awfully wise by now, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should be.
I was waiting for him to say something. Tough. Yes, I was. So, but I
should wait.
But anyway, oh, you're still waiting? Is that what you're saying? Oh, I wish I could get a hold of him. But anyway, but you know, as we age and we heal, we're on the healing journey. Well, we never really get off of the healing journey. We don't, not really. We just get better, okay?
Right.
And that's why if I saw a bill, instead of using a wooden baseball bat, I'd use the plastic one now because I got better. Okay, well, whatever. But, you know, the point is our emotional reactions many times are off, and that's something that we have to work on. And our self-perception, hopefully by this time in our lives, we can look at ourselves in a much better light because we are on the healing journey. And then the sexual effects that we go through, sometimes, you know, we're off with our sexuality or we're off with just sex in general and, you know, whatever. And that doesn't make our partner very happy. And then we have social functioning, how we deal with other people and situations when we're, you know, out in society, whether it be at our workplace, if you're still working, whatever. You know, we have to learn to look at ourselves, too, and do self-improvement. So part of our healing journey, a big part of our healing journey, is also self-improvement. We have to put that in. So, but anyway, the show is almost over. I have, I think we have about 4 minutes, something like that. But I just want to remind everyone that, okay, we're going through hard times right now in this world, in this country. And say your prayers. I believe in prayer. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. And that's a God's honest truth, okay? And if you really want to learn more, because I only touched upon tiny bits tonight from this huge, huge page after page, which covers all of mental health. I was really, really impressed with it. At your leisure, look it up. It's called healthyplace.com. Very easy to get to, healthyplace.com. And it covers all different types of situations, from sexual abuse to physical abuse, how it affects the mind, how it affects us emotionally, and how we, solutions, things that we can find for solutions, way to deal with it so that we can feel better about ourselves and so forth. So I think it was a pretty, you know, good show that we had tonight. And Victoria, if you're still listening, you can call Bill, you can call me. We have the contact list. That's right on the front page of NASCA, NAASCA.org. And we're there to let you know that you're not alone. And to pass along what we've learned, we can pass along to you too. So I want to thank everybody that was on the show tonight because I've gotten my cue here. We only have 30 seconds, but I want to thank Nancy and Sharon and Phil, who I hope I speak to more often and who will open up his mouth and not be afraid to communicate. Or maybe he was teasing, I don't know. And of course, Bill, our founder. Without him, we wouldn't have this platform. And so have a good weekend. Be safe. And we'll be back on Monday. Okay? So everyone have a good night.
Thank you, Carol. Good show.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You,
yeah.
Good night, everyone. God
bless.
Bless
all of you. God bless.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Tomorrow.
Good night.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Nighty night.